There are two brief passages from which we will read today. Mark chapter 15, verses 40 through 47, and Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. First, Mark chapter 15. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid. And in Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 8 through verse 15, the story of Stephen, that first Christian martyr. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and others of those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted him, seized him, and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who said, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us." And all who sat in the council looked intently at him, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, you might think it strange to be reading these particular passages so soon after Christmas and so far before Easter, because both of these passages relate to the death and the burial of Jesus and to the subsequent death of Stephen, that first Christian martyr. Yet I think it's appropriate, as we are in this period between the highs of Christmas and Easter and the low of Good Friday and Easter Saturday. We are in that period between those times. And really, many times we don't think about these issues or either time except at that particular point in the year. But you know, our lives are mostly lived between the highs, are they not? And sometimes between the highs and the lows and the next highs that we might experience. And while God's love in Christ, shown both by Christmas and Easter, liberates us in various ways, for many it is merely liberation from sin. And that's it. But I would contend that our full liberation also comes in all of our lives, every aspect of our lives, but it comes not just in Jesus' death and resurrection. Our full liberation, to be who we are and to live as we should, comes also in our loyalty to God Not just God's loyalty to us, but our loyalty to God, and not just at the high times of Christmas and Easter, but in the everyday in between times as well. I was riding down the road the other day, just kind of as an aside, and there is a church between here and Greenville Memorial Hospital who has on the sign still, they haven't changed it, "Jesus is the reason for the season." I got thinking about that. And I thought, why do we really say Jesus is the reason for the season when we come up to Christmas? Well, because of the birth, not Santa Claus. And Jesus is the reason for the season we've mentioned before, for Easter, very obviously. But oftentimes that's really when we focus the most on Jesus being the reason for anything. Is it not? Christmas and Easter. And I wondered, I really wanted to go and change the sign and just take for the season off and just put Jesus is the reason. And I think that's what we're looking at here, is the fact that in those times when we sometimes find our love and our loyalty tested, we remember that there are folks who stood up. Why? Because Jesus was the reason. It wasn't just a season for them. Jesus was the reason for what they did each and every day, and for the risks that they took. You know, there are people, another aside, there are people in the Middle East in the last several weeks who have sought to be liberated in various ways. They have craved liberation, although I'm not so sure that some of what might come in behind is true liberation. But they've been craving that, and they've stood up, although I don't agree with some of the violence and the protests and all, but they have looked for that. So it's not just we who think about Jesus liberating us from sin. It's the world that needs to be liberated. And sometimes we need to be a part of that liberation in the way we live our lives every day. Because God can and does liberate us, set us free from even our own worst self, if we will but let Him. So much for the asides, but I understand that Debbie let you go early Wednesday night, so. Just kidding. Or maybe not. We'll find out in a little bit, right? In our scripture passages for today, we find various reactions to God and what God did in Jesus, which show, for some, the true liberation of love and loyalty if they stand firm for God and for God's people. In Mark chapter 15, we are reminded of the women who were at the cross, the women who had followed Jesus and who showed their love and loyalty by showing up at the foot of the cross when the men were in hiding, and then by later going to the tomb to properly prepare the body. And we find that God liberated them from the old Judaistic ways to new heights of life and service. These women risked much, and yet they had proven their loyalty not just by hearing Jesus in Galilee, but we are told in the text of Mark that they followed Jesus from Galilee all the way to Jerusalem when He made that trek for this final journey. They listened to Him. They cared for needs that He and His disciples might have. And they were standing firm in the midst of bystanders who came just for the event at the crucifixion, in the midst of those who were ridiculing Jesus. These women stood firm and loyalty for that one whom they had loved and who had showed them His love. They risked much. And not just at the cross. They had faced ridicule in various ways. They had faced abuse being pushed around and shoved and belittled because, after all, well, they're just women. Well, that's how the society treated them. And yet Jesus had liberated them and lifted them above the status that was normally afforded women in the culture and even in the religion of His day. He gave to them that true sense of worth, and they showed their worthiness and their gratitude with their loyalty, even to the point of coming to the cross, even to the point of coming to the tomb, and later in the book of Acts, to the point of being present at Pentecost and sharing the good news of Jesus with others around. Their loyalty helped to fulfill their liberation. And then we've got those bystanders that I mentioned a few moments ago. The bystanders whose only loyalty was what was the fad at the moment, what was the wonderful thing happening. And they showed up. They did. They showed up at the cross. But they showed up at the cross because it was an event. Because it was like a circus. To see what was going to happen, if this miracle worker could really do something. And many of those bystanders went away shaking their heads, and others stood and in the middle of the crowd ridiculed Jesus. And probably most of them remained locked away in the prisons of their own hearts and their own minds and their own actions, losing an opportunity for true fulfillment in Christ. Another character that we find in this account in Mark is Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea, who risked his reputation, who risked persecution, who risked the wrath of the Sanhedrin. Because you see, Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin. He had been looking, Mark says, with expectation for the coming of the Messiah, for the liberating news that God would bring. But we're also told in other accounts that Joseph of Arimathea had become a secret follower of Jesus. One who believed Jesus was Messiah, although his understanding of Messiahship for Jesus was limited. Joseph could have let Jesus be buried in a pauper's grave. Joseph could have allowed Jesus to have been buried in a family crypt. But Joseph of Arimathea stepped out and claimed Jesus' body, hurriedly prepared it and had it buried in an unused tomb that Joseph himself owned nearby. When Joseph saw and realized that for which he waited was near, Joseph himself became liberated as he stood up and proved his loyalty, even at the risk of ridicule and loss. Another prime example of being liberated through loyalty and love is Stephen, that first one about whom Luke writes, who was martyred to death in the early Christian church's development. Stephen carried forth and kept strongly the criteria for deacons, which is listed earlier, a good reputation, full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Stephen spoke regularly on behalf of Christ and on behalf of this fledgling church and what they believed. Stephen often got involved in debates, although he was not acrimonious from what we understand, but continued to use a spirit of love and grace. He saw love and loyalty as primary parts of Christian living, because after all, God had shown His love and His loyalty in Jesus. Loyalty in regularly being present at that church for worship. loyalty in preparing and speaking to others about Christ and the church. Loyalty to face antagonists and bystanders and stand up for the church, even to the point of death, because of love of God in Jesus. All of these people give us examples. The bystanders, some pretty poor examples. But the women and Joseph of Arimathea and Stephen give us positive examples of the liberation from fear and selfishness in Christ and for the greater cause of Christ and His church. But times were different then, right? Yeah, I hear no. Yes and no. The times were different, but they were also the same in many ways. And the times still demand both love and loyalty to God in Christ. Back then, people stood up knowing that they might, by showing their loyalty, end up being persecuted, being tortured, being killed. Today, sometimes we refuse to stand up and speak for Christ because of fear of somebody laughing at us or saying, "Oh, you're one of those kind of people." It was a young man who taught a Sunday school class of boys a number of years ago. He won the hearts and the love of those boys over time. Some of them were extremely rambunctious and from homes that were not very religiously inclined, much less Christian. Some people criticized him for different things that he would do with the boys. Some people criticized him for allowing and spending so much time in Sunday school with those kids. And so one day he decided he was going to resign. Resign from teaching Sunday school. And he was telling someone before Sunday school that at the end of that Sunday he was going to go to the Sunday school director and say, "This is it. I'm not going to do this anymore. Yes, the boys are kind of rambunctious sometimes, but I'm trying and I think I'm making progress, but I'm just not going to do it anymore." And one of the boys overheard him standing around the corner. As the young man started toward the Sunday school class, he overheard this young boy inside the classroom. The door was open, talking with another one. The boy said to his friend, "I'm not coming back to this church because teacher's going to quit." The other boy looked at him and said, "He can't quit. I was here the first day he taught us when he said that God sent him to our class and God was his boss. He's God's man. He can't quit God." With a tear in his eye, the young man changed his mind and decided, "I think I'll continue teaching Sunday school." The women didn't quit. They stayed loyal and even were present at the tomb in Pentecost, liberated in love and their loyalty. Joseph of Arimathea didn't quit. He stood up, even when it could have cost him greatly. Stephen stood up and gave everything out of love and loyalty. And he was liberated not just in what he was doing at that time, but he was liberated for all of eternity. I mentioned something recently when we were talking about snow. And I know we've had some significant snows lately. But I want to reminisce for a moment. 50 years ago this March, I forgot it had been 50 years ago until my mother reminded me. I thought, boy, somebody's getting old. 50 years ago this March, the first Sunday in March, a young minister by the name of Jack Clark and a small group of folks met in the Armory. That's back when you could do that kind of stuff. Met in the Armory in Burlington, North Carolina, as part of a mission from Glen Hope Baptist Church to to another part of town. It was a small group that met in the snow because it started snowing as we arrived. And we stayed and it continued snowing. And by the time we came out, there were several inches and it continued snowing all day long. But 50 years ago this March, Jack Clark and that small group met. And they had a vision and they talked about and they began meeting regularly in the armory. And then they built their church, which then had additions later on. They continued to grow and to minister, but it wasn't always good. There were times of rejoicing and there were times of suffering. And there were times when the doors almost closed because of financial difficulties, especially several years after he died. The small group had a vision and worked hard in love and in loyalty to God and to each other. And even though they didn't always agree, they remained loyal to that task and to that vision. And the first Sunday in March this year, they will celebrate 50 years. Eventually, with God's guidance, they were liberated from fear, from the fear of closing, from the fear of other people looking strangely at them. The loyalty that they showed has kept that church alive. This church was begun in December 1879. There have been good times and there have been difficult days. And yet, the loyalty of many and the love shown for God, for each other, and for this church has continued to go forth in viable ministry. The loyalty of Stephen inspired the fledgling church, which became so liberated from its own fears and grew together to the point that that fledgling church spawned other churches, which spawned other churches. And Christianity continues to grow even today. Only when we remain loyal in love can we individually and as our church, God's church meeting in this place, truly become liberated in God. A love that clings to Christ in loyalty can liberate us even when we do not understand what's going on, or when we are misunderstood. God's love liberates us. God's loyalty to us in Christ liberates us. But it can only be fully realized when we participate in our liberation to live in loyalty and in love to God, to each other, and to His church. Not just on Sundays, not just at the season, but when Jesus is truly the reason for our daily lives. Would you join me in prayer? Our most gracious God, we do thank You for the love that You show to us. We thank You for the loyalty to Your covenant promises that You have given, and how that continues even in our lives each and every day, sometimes when we least realize it. But Lord, we also come realizing that the only way to be truly fulfilled is if we commit our loyalty and our love even more to You, to Your church in this place, to each other. Help us to truly live lives of liberation even in the middle of chaos because of that love and loyalty to You and from You. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn of decision is 553, Nearer My God to Thee. As we sing this prayer, our altar is open for any who would make a decision, whether that decision is to follow Christ publicly for the first time, to join with this fellowship, or to rededicate ourselves to loyal service. Hymn number 553, nearer, my God, to thee.